In just a few months, the entire global order has shifted.
Canada would be great as our cherished 51st state.
The US has started threatening its traditional allies and cozying up to its traditional enemy, Russia.
Do you respect Putin?
I do respect him.
Do you? Why?
Well, I respect a lot of people.
So what does Donald Trump get out of all this? I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we try to detangle the chaos of the world so that you really understand it. Find new episodes on ABC Listen every Thursday.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Lately, we've spent a lot of time talking about the end of a trial, the sentencing process and all that comes at that time. But what about after that, when eventually an offender finishes their prison term and is released back into the community? I'm Stephen Stockwell, and today we're following the release of one of the most well-known offenders on the podcast so far, Northern Territory reality TV star Matt Wright. Welcome to the case of the Croc Wrangler.
He's one of the Territory's biggest stars.
Flashing cameras and waiting reporters as Netflix star Matt Wright fronted court.
The Territory tourism operator is facing three counts of attempting to pervert the course of justice.
This was a tragic event that took the life of the crocodile egg collector.
In December last year, Matt Wright was sentenced to 5 months in prison for attempting to pervert the course of justice. And that sentence has now ended. It is the first person who we've followed on this pod who has gone from the beginning to almost the end of that judicial process. And joining us as we unpack this milestone is Olivana Lathouris, the Northern Territory ABC court reporter who has held our hand throughout this process. Ollie, welcome back to the pod.
Pleasure to be here.
There's a lot to unpack in this episode. There were appeal plans originally. There have been other court hearings that Matt Wright's team has been involved in. But first, Ollie, Matt Wright released from prison.
That's right, Stocky. 5 months since Matt Wright's sentencing day back on the 12th of December. So yesterday, 11th of May, was his release date, and he's now home with his family.
What does that process look like? Because, I mean, we follow the court process quite closely. We follow the sentencing process, but all of my knowledge of how someone gets released from prison is from TV shows. It is all based on me seeing someone pick up a bag, walk out some gates, and just kind of wait for someone to pick them up. Is that how that looks?
Well, Stocky, a little bit, yeah. Corrections is only really responsible for holding people. They're not really responsible after someone's released. So essentially, once someone has served their time, they get their clothes. They probably have to do a bunch of really boring paperwork, and then they're free to go. I actually did learn that if you've had a job in prison, you get your money, so you get paid. If you don't have a bank account, they'll just give you cash. I guess in the Northern Territory, it's a little bit of an unusual place. There's, you know, people spread far and wide over very remote parts of the country, so corrections will sometimes try to make arrangements for people if they're from a very remote area and they need help getting home. Or maybe they sometimes drop people to the Casuarina bus stop, but I'm sure that was not the case for Matt Wright. I doubt that they were dropping him off at the Casuarina bus stop. I'm sure he had a lift home.
I do like the visual of Matt Wright standing with a duffel bag at the Casuarina bus stop waiting for his wife, Kaya, to come and pick him up. Speaking of his wife, Kaya, we heard at Matt Wright's sentencing that Kaya was pregnant. This was a point that was kind of talked about in the sentencing submissions from Matt Wright's legal team, that, you know, he may miss the birth of his son if he's in prison for this period. How did he go? Did he get out in time to see the birth?
Yeah, Stocky, I remember this being quite a significant point on the day of his sentencing, when we were hearing those sentencing submissions from his team, and this was something that came up. And we always knew that Kaya's due date was going to be right on the edge of Matt Wright's release point. And I think at the time, I certainly thought there'll be efforts to try to get him out before that birth of his third child, Stocky. But what we found out yesterday was that he just missed the birth of his third baby boy.
Yeah. I mean, how do we find out about Matt Wright getting out of prison in the first place. I mean, I can't imagine that there's just like a ledger of people on the NT Corrections website being like, these people are now out, like a kind of a cross or a tick next to their name as to whether or not they're in or out of prison. How did we learn about all of this?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the media would have been, had that date marked in their diary, knowing that that was when he was going to get out. And we always knew it was 5 months, and that brought it, he was sentenced on the 12th of December, so 5 months brought it to 11 May. And so we all sort of knew that that was the date. And of course, unless there's a very good reason, and unless, you know, for example, you commit another offence while you're in detention or something like that, corrections can't hold you any longer than what you've been sentenced to. We did try to contact corrections to sort of confirm whether or not Matt Wright had been released. Corrections don't generally comment on individual prisoners, so we were just going by the day. But then, of course, yesterday morning we saw an Instagram post on Matt Wright's social media. It was a family photo. It had Kaya in there holding their new newborn baby boy, Sterling. The caption basically said, I'm home. And that's how we found out also that he had missed that birth of his third child.
Such a kind of wild way to learn of someone's release through a social media platform, not through the department that has been caring for this man for the last 5 months. Speaking of care for Matt Wright, he was in Darwin Correctional Centre. This was a high security section. That's where he was sent in December last year when he was sent to prison for 5 months for attempting to pervert the course of justice. Did he spend his whole sentence in that spot, or does he get moved around?
He was moved around. At one stage, he went into what they call the complex behavioural unit, not for what we understand, not for, you know, behavioural reasons. Sometimes people are sent to the complex behavioural unit for if they have particularly acute mental health or disability needs, for example. That certainly isn't the case for someone like Matt Wright. Mm. But the other reason you can be sent to a different part of the prison somewhere like the complex behavioural unit is for security reasons. This was always a concern given Matt Wright is an extremely high-profile person, certainly, you know, not the kind of person that you generally expect to be in a prison population. And of course, that can lead to a whole host of vulnerabilities for that person. And so there's certainly security reasons as to why someone might be kept in that part of the prison.
Yeah, right. So the idea being that potentially because of his profile, he could be a target for other prisoners and things like that, that they may come and have a crack, basically.
Exactly, Stocky.
Yeah. I mean, when we were talking in December, I think you pointed out that Darwin Correctional Centre, the main body of that prison, isn't air-conditioned. And, you know, I don't know lots about Darwin, but I do know that Darwin is quite a hot city and generally pretty warm part of the world. I'm here in Melbourne at the moment and we've just gotten into single figures. I mean, what are the conditions like in this other place that Matt was moved to? Like, has he got aircon there? Is it a bit more comfortable?
Yeah, we do understand that he did have air conditioning, which, to be honest, seems like a pretty basic thing to have given the kind of conditions that people are, you know, living in the Northern Territory. Also bearing in mind, Matt Wright was in prison during the wet season up here, and that is definitely the hottest, most uncomfortable part of the year for the NT. So very hot, very sticky. The ABC has done plenty of reporting about prison conditions in the Northern Territory. And I think it would be an extremely uncomfortable place to be, particularly over those hot summer months.
Yeah, right. I mean, half of Matt Wright's sentence was suspended. So he spent 5 months in prison for attempting to pervert the course of justice. Justice Blow suspended the second 5 months of that. So does that basically mean that if Matt Wright, you know, at some point between now and October attempts to pervert the course of justice again, he goes back to prison?
Yeah, well, Stocky, not just attempt to pervert the course of justice, but really any offence that's punishable by prison would mean that Matt Wright would have to go back into custody and serve the remaining 5 months of his 10-month sentence. But actually, it's not just for the next 5 months that he has to be on good behaviour. Acting Justice Alan Blow, when he sentenced Matt Wright, actually gave him a 2-year, essentially, good behaviour bond. So he now has to not commit another offence punishable by imprisonment for the next 2 years.
Yeah, right. When Matt Wright was sentenced outside court, there was this kind of, I don't know, pretty big game talked about an appeal that, you know, Matt Wright wasn't going to kind of accept the judgment that had been handed down. Where's that up to?
Yeah, Stocky, I think that was his first comment that he made when he walked out of the Northern Territory Supreme Court on the day of his guilty verdict. I think I recall him saying that he thought the outcome was disappointing, and he said he was going to continue the fight, essentially. And we did hear of his legal team submitting a notice to appeal, and there were grounds of appeal that we thought that they were going to be pursuing. But we really haven't heard anything since then. So, Stocky, normally there's sort of a 28-day time frame where you have to at least file a notice to appeal, so indicate to the court that you're intending to appeal a decision or a sentence. And then that sort of gets the ball rolling. But there are, you know, I can think of many times where that 28-day period has lapsed and parties have been able to have the time frame extended. There could be numerous reasons why that's the case. So even though the 28-day period has well and truly expired in this particular instance, that doesn't necessarily mean that there couldn't be an appeal. And as I said, we did, you know, see a notice of appeal filed following the guilty verdict for Matt Wright, but we just haven't heard anything.
You know, given he's now been released from prison, I mean, do you often see appeals after someone has served their sentence? I mean, he's still got the 5 months suspended, but I mean, I feel like you'd probably just let it go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also depends what the appeal is. So in this case, it's an appeal of the guilty verdict. He's not appealing his sentence because they're arguing that it's too harsh or the DPP is arguing it's too lenient. This is about him being found guilty. So of course, while I'm sure that a big part of wanting to appeal the sentence would have been to avoid him having to go to custody in the first place, I guess there's a world where that doesn't entirely ameliorate the desire to appeal. I mean, if he absolutely maintains that he's innocent and absolutely wants to fight this, there is still, I guess, that motivation to want to appeal. But certainly I think the fact that he's now served, you know, his full 5 months would definitely be probably quite a significant factor in wanting to continue this fight. I mean, it's been years of legal proceedings for everyone involved in this matter. And I'm sure, again, that's another factor for them to be weighing up whether they want to sort of drag this process out even longer than what it's already stretched out for.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of get that logic of if you want to appeal, trying to clear your name and something like that. So I can see kind of how that would fit in and how that may be a motivating factor for someone as well. Matt Wright was found guilty of two charges of attempting to pervert the course of justice. He was tried on three, though, and the jury actually couldn't reach a verdict on the third. That was the allegation that Matt Wright asked a friend to destroy helicopter flight records. Is he going to get tried on that again? Is that going to come back around?
Yeah, this was, again, one of those sort of loose ends that we had at the end of the trial with Matt Wright. At the time, we did put questions to the DPP about whether or not they were going to be pursuing that third count of attempting to pervert the course of justice. And at the time, they just sort of said, we're just going to wait to see how this all plays out. Again, I think the appeal was a factor in that because at that stage, everyone was expecting there to be another whole stage to this case with appealing those other two counts. But at this stage, again, we haven't heard anything about that third count. I'm not sure whether this appeal and whether or not that appeal will go ahead is again, a factor in whether or not they'll continue to try to pursue count three, but no news yet, Stocky. But when there is, you'll be the first to know.
Thank you, Ollie. I appreciate that. I imagine being Matt Wright, though, getting home, being like, all right, out of prison, all done. DPP knocks on the door and be like, hey, remember that third one? Let's go. So, look, we'll see what washes out there. On the third charge, though, Ollie, this is a really interesting thing that happened at the end of this trial because, yeah, the jury was trying to decide if Matt Wright was guilty of three counts of attempting to pervert the course of justice. They found him guilty on two and couldn't reach a decision on that third one. And we actually had a question from Amy that's been sitting in the case of inbox for months. So I'm relieved that we've got you back. Amy wonders why, when the jury couldn't reach a verdict on that last charge, on that third charge, why wasn't the whole thing a mistrial?
Well, I guess the simplest answer to that question is just that they treat each count separately. I don't know whether there's a world where the counts are so intermingled where you kind of can't reach a verdict on one without reaching a verdict on the other. But certainly in this case, each count relates to a specific circumstance, a specific incident that has happened. And so even though the jury were able to reach a decision on counts one and two, they simply just couldn't reach a decision on the third one, which was sort of this totally separate allegation, a totally separate incident that unfolded. I think each of the counts were months apart. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because the jury can't come to a decision on that third count that the whole case falls apart. It's just, they just sort of amputate count three. And like we were saying, the DPP can choose to re-agitate that. They can try to bring it back to court again, but we just don't know whether or not they'll decide to do that ultimately.
Yeah. Thank you for the question, Amy. Appreciate emailing the case of at abc.net.au. We love hearing from you. Your questions, also your feedback, your general ideas, all of that's very welcome. And I think this goes to show that even if you email us and we don't get there, when we get someone like Ollie back on the pod, we'll eventually drag out your email from the depths of the case of inbox. I've spoken about my filing system before. This is proof that it works. So well done, me. Ollie, Matt Wright's legal team have been back in court through this process, though. It's not quite finished yet. One of the things that they were doing was they were claiming that the secret recording, actually related to charge three, that the jury couldn't reach a decision on, might have been done illegally. How did that go?
This count three has just been causing problems right the way through. It was all to do with those secret recordings, those bugs that police placed in Matt Wright's homes. There were multiple bugs that were placed by police, and this count three was really based solely on some of these recordings. Again, the issue of these recordings and these bugs kind of led to this whole other problem. Matt Wright's legal team actually tried to subpoena the Commissioner of Police to get their hands on the documentation that would have allowed or authorized police to place those bugs in the first place. Because I think we talked about this on an older episode, but police aren't just allowed to go into people's homes and place bugs wherever they like. There has to be a good reason for it, and there are is a process that needs to be followed there. And there was an allegation, you know, being agitated on behalf of Matt Wright that authorization, that document, was actually a forgery. And so they tried to subpoena police, and then it kind of turned out that there were actually two copies of this document, and when the two copies were examined, it turned out that they were identical. So it sort of ameliorated that question of forgery. But then the next question was this thing of costs, because of course, every time that lawyers get into these arguments about documentation or subpoenas or anything, time is money, and these things cost. And when you're dealing with silks and barristers, it's a lot of money often. And so there was a question of whether or not Matt Wright should have to pay costs because of his legal team pursuing that argument. And unfortunately for Matt Wright, Acting Justice Alan Blow said that while it's unusual for a defendant to have to pay money in regards to any sort of investigative work that's done around their case, in this case, he basically found that, yeah, it wasn't necessarily necessary for his legal team to subpoena police, and therefore he would have to pay those costs because ultimately their argument was unsuccessful.
Oof, another blow for Matt Wright, delivered Oof. By Justice Alan Blow.
Another pun from Stocky as well.
Ollie, Matt Wright now in the community, back with his family, as we've been talking about. Do we know what that looks like for him? Are there any restrictions? I mean, you talked earlier about him having to behave himself for the next couple of years, but, you know, are there any sort of restrictions or conditions on him in the community now?
not really stocky. He just is on good behaviour. He certainly can't go and commit any further offences, as I said, punishable by imprisonment. And this is sort of where the difference between something like a suspended sentence and the difference between parole might come into play. Someone on parole might be subject to much stricter conditions than someone who's just on a suspended sentence. So if you're released on parole, you might have to wear an ankle monitor. You might have to check in with your parole officer. The parole board makes decisions about whether or not you can be released early. But that's very different to a suspended sentence, which is what Matt Wright is currently serving.
Got it. Great. Yeah. So I guess, if he'd been imprisoned for 10 months and then, you know, was able to get parole after 5 months, parole board's involved, and there may be conditions around, yeah, exactly what he could do, what he can't do, all those things. Ollie, thank you so much for joining us on the case of the Croc Wrangler to update us, talk us through Matt Wright's release, and I guess kind of, you know, close this story out, and, you know, unless Matt Wright misbehaves in the next 2 years.
Thanks, Stocky.
We'll be back in your feed on Thursday. The best place to listen to The Case Of is on ABC Listen. You can jump on there, hit follow. You'll be first in the line for all of The Case Of updates. We've got quite a bit coming for you later this week, so you're going to want to get around that. And if you're using a different podcast app to enjoy The Case Of, please leave us a rating or review, because it makes it much easier for other people to find us. The Case of the Croc Wrangler is produced by ABC Audio Studios and ABC News. It's reported by Olivana Lathouris and presented by me, Stephen Stockwell. Our supervising producer is Greg Muller, and our executive producer is Claire Rawlinson. This episode was produced on the land of the Larrakia and Wurundjeri people.